Take your Bibles, if you would, John chapter 9. John chapter 9, we started this last week. You remember, I'll just quickly review what we talked about last week, and we'll start in verse 26 tonight for our Bible study. Jesus saw a blind man, a blind man that had been blind from birth. And I mentioned last week this is the only instance in the Bible where we read about a blind man that's been blind from birth. And again, he and his disciples had a discussion. The disciples asked the question, why is this man blind? Whose sin is it a result of, his or his parents? And Jesus said, well, neither one, so that the glory of God could be shown. And again, God didn't make this blind man blind at birth so Jesus could heal him. It happened. But God was going to use it to bring glory to his son. And so Jesus spits on the ground, he makes clay, he anoints the man's eyes and says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he did, and he gets his sight back. As we talked about last week, the first place he probably went was home, because the next verse talks about his neighbors. So he went home. Don't know if he was married, but we know he had parents. And so he went home and shared, I think, what happened to him. Of course, his parents would want to know what happened. I mean, you know, you were born blind. How have you got your sight? And he shared the story. Hey, this man called Jesus. He made clay, put it on my eyes, told me to go wash. I did, and now I can see. Well, some of the neighbors also heard it, and they decided, not his parents, I don't think, but the neighbors and maybe some others that were there and heard it, took him to the Pharisees because Jesus did this on the Sabbath day. And it was illegal and wrong to heal on the Sabbath day. I mean, in the Pharisees' eyes. It wasn't in God's eyes. I mean, Jesus had done it before by the pool of Bethsaida earlier in the book of John. Got into trouble then with the Pharisees as well. And again, you remember when we talked about that, we covered the truth that the man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for a man. And so they took him to the Pharisees. They told him what happened. And the Pharisee says, well, this man, Jesus, must, and they knew who he was. I mean, they had their eye on him already for the stuff that he had already done that had broken man's law. And they said, he must not be of God, because if he was of God, he would not have broken the Sabbath. He would not have healed on the Sabbath. And so they asked the man that had his sight restored, how did you get your sight back? And again, he told the same story. He said, this man called Jesus. He made clay, put it on my eyes, told me to go wash. I went and washed, and now see. Well, the Pharisees didn't want to believe it. They wanted to discount the story. So they called his parents in and said, and they asked him, he said, is this your son that you say is born blind? How does he now see? And his parents... And by the way, they'd already said, the Pharisees had already said, if anybody confessed that Jesus was Christ, the Messiah, they would be removed from the synagogue. They'd be excommunicated. And so his parents had heard that, and they answered the question. They said, yes, this is our son. We are sure of that. And yes, he was born blind. We can testify to that. But how he got his sight back, we don't know. Now, again, doesn't say in the Bible, but I think they knew. I think their boy had told them. But they said, we're not sure how he got his sight back. He's old enough. He's of age. He can speak for himself. Why don't you ask him? And so they called the blind man back. Now, again, his parents were afraid of excommunication. I mentioned last week, if you were excommunicated by the Jews from the synagogue, you were publicly cursed. You could not interact socially. You could not conduct business. And you couldn't come into the synagogue. You were cut off from God as they worshiped him in that day. And so they saved themselves, so to speak, but they put their son on the spot when they said, well, he's old enough. He can speak for himself. Call him and ask him how he got his sight back. And so that's what they did. And they said, you need to give God the glory. As for this man, Jesus, he must be a sinner. He wouldn't have done what he did on the Sabbath if he wasn't a sinner. And we ended with verse 25 last week, where the man that was blind said, well, I don't know about that. I don't know if he's a sinner or not. One thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see. Then we start in verse 26. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And so, again, they ask him the same question that they did before. And the man began, he began to poke at him, at the Pharisees a little bit. He says in verse 27, he answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? The guy said, hey, I told you before. I told you my story. It hasn't changed in the past hour or however long it had been, you know, between the time they talked to him and examined his parents. It hasn't changed. It's the same story. If you need me to tell you again because you didn't, do you need me to tell it to you again because you weren't listening? Or do you want to hear it again so that your faith in Christ could grow and you could be his disciples too? Now, I think he knew that that was not the case. I think he was just poking at him to say, hey, I know what you're trying to do, and I'm not going to be a part of it. So they say in verse 28, then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. And so, again, they got mad and they reviled him. They said, no, look, we don't want to be his disciple. You apparently are his disciple because, you know, you're ascribing to him the power to give you sight back. But we're not going to be his disciple. We're Moses' disciple, okay? And because we know that God spoke to Moses. Now, again, they had the Old Testament. We know that in the book of Genesis and Exodus that God did speak to Moses. He spoke to him at the burning bush when he called him into service. He talked to him on Mount Sinai when he gave him the Ten Commandments. In fact, Moses carried down the stone tablets from Mount Sinai where God had written with his finger the Ten Commandments. God had given Moses instructions for the tabernacle and for how they were to camp and for life. It was a known fact that God talked to Moses. And so the Pharisees said, hey, we're not going to be his disciple. We're Moses' disciple because God spoke to Moses. As for this guy, we don't even know where he came from. Now, again, they knew where he came from, or at least they thought they did. He had been in Galilee, and they had been waiting in Jerusalem for him to come back to Jerusalem from Galilee. He went to Galilee to get away from the Pharisees so that he could continue his ministry. Now he'd come back. He had come back. And again, I don't know if any of them knew that he was actually born in Bethlehem or not. If they knew that he was born in Bethlehem, they could go back to the prophecy that was in Micah that said the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. But again, we don't know. I don't know if any of them knew that where he was actually born. But they made the statement, Moses, we know God talked to him, but this guy, we don't even know where he's from. Now, I like this guy who got his sight back because he sort of poked at him again. Verse 30, the man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Wow, you're our spiritual leaders. You're the teachers of the law. And yet you have no idea where this guy came from, and he opened my eyes? Verse 31. Now, this is the man talking. This is not the Pharisees. This is the man talking. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. And so here was the former blind man speaking to the Pharisees. And again, I think he was taunting them. He was poking them. Boy, this is really amazing. This guy healed my blindness, and you as the spiritual leaders of Israel don't even know where he comes from. Then he goes on. He says, the Bible says, and you've taught us, that God will not hear sinners. And I'm sure there were some of the Pharisees shaking their head. That's exactly right. That's what we've taught. God does not hear sinners. Then he goes on. But if somebody worships God and doeth his will and is obedient to him, him God will hear. And again, I can just see the Pharisees shaking their head. That's right. That's what we've taught you. That if you're a worshiper of God and are obedient to him, you do his will, God will hear your prayers. Then he goes on, verse 32. Again, this is the former blind man talking. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? I mean, he was saying, hey, I've never heard an account of somebody born blind getting their eyesight restored. And I'm sure the Pharisees, well, we haven't heard about it. They were probably shaking their head. Yeah, you're right. You know, there's no record of a man born blind from birth, getting their eyesight back. So here he is again. Just, I wish I could hear the tone of his voice. Boy, this is amazing. This guy opened my eyes. You don't know where he come from. God doesn't hear sinners. He hears people that worship him and serve him. And since the world began, nobody has ever restored somebody's sight that has been born blind. Then he just sort of knocks him between the eyes in verse 33 when he says, if this man was not of God, he could do nothing. I mean, he set him up. He had them nodding their head. Yep, you're right, you're right, you're right. God doesn't hear sinners. He hears the prayers of those that worship and serve him. And we've never heard about anybody being that was born blind, his eyes being open. And the man says, well, then, even though you don't know where he's from, he must be of God, because if he wasn't of God, he couldn't have done what he did. I mean, the Pharisees they didn't have any ground to stand on. This guy had knocked the legs out from under them. They wanted to use this man as a tool to get at Jesus for breaking the Sabbath, but this man would have nothing to do with it. And so they did the only thing that they could do. They ignored his argument. They ignored the scripture. They ignored history. And in verse 34, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. And so they said, look, you're a sinner. We're the Pharisees. We're the keeper and teachers of the law. How dare you? How dare you try to teach us? You have no standing to teach us. And so they cast him out. Now, some people think that they excommunicated him at that point. But according to Jewish law, and we know the Pharisees, when it was convenient, they broke their own law. But according to the Jewish law, you had to have a formal meeting to excommunicate somebody from the synagogue. And so there's no record that they had a formal meeting. And so most Bible scholars think that they just cast him out of their presence. They said, just get out of here. Just get out. You're not going to teach us. We're not going to buy into your argument. Even though, I mean, his argument makes sense. I mean, he laid the foundation. If you were going to argue in court, you couldn't have made a better case for Jesus being from God than the case that this blind man made. But they said, just get out of here. So they cast him out of their presence. Again, they wanted to use him. He would not be used. And so they said, well, this man can't help us in our quest to put down Jesus, so just get out of our sight. Now, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? So Jesus heard about this encounter that this man had had with the Pharisees, and he went looking for him. Jesus went looking for him. That phrase, when he had found him, means that Jesus actually went searching for this man. And when he found him, he asked a question. He says, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Do you believe on the Messiah? Now, again, this man was a Jew. His parents were Jews. Even though he was blind from birth, he still knew about the Messiah. He had still heard about the Messiah. He had still been taught about the Messiah. Again, most of the Jews at this time were looking for a military, political Messiah, one that would come back, overthrow Rome, set on the throne of David, restore the glory to Israel. Again, Jesus' disciples were looking for that kind of Messiah. And one day Jesus will be that kind of Messiah. But this time he wasn't. He was the Messiah that came to save. He was the Messiah that came to die for our sins. And so when Jesus asked this man, "Do you believe on the Son of God? Do you believe on the Messiah? Are you looking forward to the Messiah? Are you anticipating his coming?" Jesus knew that what answer he was going to get. He knew. This man was a Jew. Here's what the man said. He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Now, the word Lord there is the Greek word kuries, K-U-R-I-E. It has a couple meanings. Same word, couple meanings. It depends on the context. In this context, it's like saying, "Sir, who is he, sir, that I might believe on him?" What this man said was the cry of all that don't know Jesus and want to. They know this man was looking forward to the Messiah. He believed in the Messiah. He believed the Messiah was coming. He was anticipating the Messiah was coming. People today that don't know Jesus know there's something missing in their life. I mentioned it on Sunday. When we were created in the image of God. And part of us, there's part of us that longs and has to have a relationship with God. And without a relationship with God, there is an empty spot. There is a void in our life. We try to fill it up with things of the earth. I mean, Solomon talked about it in the book of Ecclesiastes. We try to fill it up with things. We try to fill it up with pleasure. We try to fill it up with, you know, what the world has to offer. But we find, like Solomon did, that when we try to do that, it's all vanity. It doesn't fill that longing. It doesn't fill that desire in our life. And so when this man cried out, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" It was a cry that every sinner, whether they realize it or not, has. They want to know that one that can fill that gap, the one that can fill that emptiness in their life. And so he says, "I don't know who he is. Tell me so that I can believe." In verse 37, "And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." Jesus said, "Hey, you've seen him." I find that ironic. This man had been blind from birth. He'd had his sight less than a day, probably less than 12 hours at this point. I mean, he'd been able to see only a few hours at this point. And Jesus said, "You've already seen him. You've already seen the Messiah. You've already seen the Son of God. And by the way, the one that's talking to you now, that's him." But Jesus was saying, "It's me. I am the Son of God." In verse 38, "And he said, Lord," same word, but a different meaning, not sir, but master. "And he said, Lord, I believe. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you are the Messiah." And notice what he did. And he worshiped him. The only thing a person could do when they come into the presence of God. The Bible doesn't say how he worshiped him, but I can picture it in my mind when Jesus said, "Well, you've seen him, and I'm him." And he said, "I believe, Lord." I think he fell down on his knees. I think he bowed his face to the ground and he began to praise and extol and uplift Jesus. Again, this is one that a few hours earlier had been blind. And now he falls at the feet of the Messiah in the presence of the Son of God. You see, remember when we started the book of John, we said the purpose of the book of John is to prove that Jesus is the Son of God. And throughout the book, John gives us different signs, different miracles to prove that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, this blind man didn't need any more signs. He didn't need any more miracles. The miracle that Jesus did for him in restoring his sight was all the proof that he needed that Jesus was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. But Jesus goes on. There were some Pharisees standing around, heard this encounter. And Jesus said in verse 39, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." That word judgment there is the Greek word krima, K-R-I-M-A. It's a word that's only found in the book of John. It's found here and in John chapter 3. And it means the result of the act of judging. The results of the act of judging. God didn't send Jesus into the world for judgment. He sent Jesus into the world for salvation. But men are judged by how they respond to Christ. Okay? So in this sense, because they are judged on how they respond to him, judgment did come into the world with Jesus. So he says, "I've come that those who can't see, which see not, which are blind, might see." Most of us spiritually, so that we might see spiritually, but in some cases, like the man in this particular account, might also see physically. So Jesus, and again, this wasn't the only blind man that Jesus healed. He says, "I've come into the world that those that see not might see." Both the physically blind that I've been able to minister to, and then all those that hear the gospel and respond and put their faith and trust and believe in me might see spiritually. And then he goes on, "And that they which see physically might be made blind." They're made blind by their refusal to receive Christ. Their eyes are blinded. The second part of that verse, he was talking about the Pharisees. First part of that verse, he was talking about this man whose sight he restored. And so the Pharisees heard all this. And in verse 40, "And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Are you talking about us?" And he was. He said, "Yes, you can see physically, but you're blind spiritually." Verse 41, "If ye were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth." Now, when Jesus said, "If ye were blind," he wasn't talking about physical blindness. He was talking about moral blindness. He was talking about somebody that, because of a mental impairment or something like that, couldn't tell the difference between right or wrong. And so he says, if you're blind, I mean, if you're morally blind, if you can't tell the difference between right and wrong, then you're not responsible for your actions. Okay? It's like we believe that little babies, before they reach the age of accountability, and again, that term's not used in the Bible, but before they can tell the difference between right and wrong. You see, you can't be a sinner until you deliberately decide to sin. Okay? And so a little baby, we may think they're sinners because they cry when there's nothing wrong with them. They just cry. I mean, they're not wet. They're not hungry. They just cry. But they're not doing that because of their sin. I mean, they still have that sin nature. We're all born with that. But our sin nature doesn't turn into sin until that first time in our life where we realize, this is right, and this is wrong, and this is what I choose to do. Amen. That makes us, that's when our sin nature becomes sin. And so somebody that is morally blind, that doesn't know the difference between right and wrong, Jesus said, they have no sin. Because they can't be accountable because they don't know the difference. But now ye say, we see. You know the difference between right and wrong. You're the Pharisees. You're the teacher of the law. Yeah, you may have misinterpreted a lot of it, and you may have added a lot to it that I didn't want added. It's God talking. But you know the law. You know the law. And so you know the difference between right and wrong. You see. But because you've refused me, your sin remaineth. Your sin continues. They claimed moral sight, but they're spiritually blind. So they have no excuse. Their sin continues to abide. Jesus could heal physical blindness. And he can heal spiritual blindness to everybody that lets him. But to those that refuse that healing, to those that refuse Christ, there's no hope. They'll continue to be blind forever because that unbelief in Christ prevents them from seeing the light of the world. Now again, they have been in the presence of the light of the world. They had talked to the light of the world. They had heard Jesus teach. They had seen the miracles that he performed. God had given them a measure of faith that he gives to every person. They had enough faith to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. But they refused to exercise it. They refused to open up their hearts and their minds. I mean, the truth was standing right in front of them, and they rejected it. And it's the same way today. It works the same way today. Every single person that hears the gospel and sees the light of the world has enough faith given to them by God to believe. The only reason they continue in their sin and are lost is because they choose not to believe. It's an act of will on their part. It's not God's fault. It's man's fault because they refuse to believe. All right. Thank you for being here tonight. Men will be praying back here. Ladies will be praying over here if there is ladies to pray. And if you'd like to join them, you can. But let's stand together and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.